First of all, I will continue hearing confessions after the sermon. And I wish to wish everybody a happy St. Valentine's Day on February the 14th. Tomorrow is a feast of St. Scholastica, the sister of St. Benedict, and the foundress of the women Benedictines. I ask all of you to say special prayers for our Benedictine sisters and all Benedictine sisters throughout the world. And I ask you also to pray for vocations. I will say more about vocations in a few minutes. This coming Tuesday is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. My good people, if we are even halfway familiar with some of these better known visitations of Our Lady, our apparitions of Our Lady, Fatima, Lourdes, and so on, and we know anything at all about the prophecies, and we look around us, we can't help but see that they are being fulfilled to the worst. Why is that? Is it because not enough of us are fulfilling her requests of prayer and sacrifice? Let us think about that. After Mass, I myself will be giving the St. Blaise blessing of throats. So everybody is welcome to come to the communion rail, and I will give the blessing of throats. Now, my good people, I beg each of you to read especially the front page of this bulletin about the importance, the value, the necessity of monasteries and convents. The quotation is from another approved apparition of Our Lady that took place in Quito, Ecuador, back in the 17th century. The gist of this quotation has been repeated and even predated by many, many saints and other apparitions and great popes. My good people, pray for vocations to monasteries and to convents. Offer extra little sacrifices that God will bless people, both men and women, young men and young women, with good, lasting, sincere vocations. Parents and grandparents, talk to your children and your grandchildren. Show them the grandeur, the awesomeness, the importance of a religious vocation. Don't use force. Simply show them in love what a religious vocation is and the value of it. And your children present, pray and search and ask yourselves, how much do you love God? How much of yourselves do you want to give to God? Now, we often get this question, but how do I know if I have a religious vocation? I will answer that in a moment. But first of all, we don't get a neon sign or a flaming billboard saying, you have a vocation. God does not work that way. Yes, in the past, in very few cases, he has sometimes literally picked a person up and plumped them in a monastery or a convent. But that is the exception. That isn't the rule. In other cases, he will give a person a very strong inclination to enter religion. That is one way. My good people, I'm going to read a couple of passages from the Holy Gospels. Please bear with me, but please pay attention. The first one is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God as a little child will not enter into it. And he put his arms about the children, and laying his hands upon them, he began to bless them. And as he was going forth on his journey, a certain man, running up, fell upon his knees before him and asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to gain eternal life? But Jesus said to him, why dost thou call me good? No one is good but only God. Thou knowest the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not defraud. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said, master, all these I have kept ever since I was a child. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said to him, one thing is lacking to thee. Go, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And of course, as we know, in this particular instance, the young man had great riches. He could not bear to part with them. So as far as we know, he remained in the world. He did not follow the inspiration of grace. Not that he was necessarily damned, no. And the second quotation passage is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 19. At that time, Peter said to Jesus, behold, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? And Jesus said to them, amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, shall also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall possess life everlasting. My good people, I said a minute ago that one way is that a person will feel a very strong inclination to enter religion. But these two passages indicate a second way. God simply leaves the choice up to the individual. He or she must ask himself or herself, How much do I want to give to God? And if the answer is more than I am right now, even if it isn't necessarily everything, then he or she is strongly urged to follow it up. My good people, there are many, many people in religion, even those who have become canonized saints, who never knew, ipso facto, absolutely, that he or she had a vocation, but he or she had decided that he or she wanted to give all of themselves to God. So they entered religion, and they stuck with it. God blessed them, and they became saints, or at least persevered to the end. Now, my good people, entering religion doesn't mean a one-way free ticket to happiness everlasting, and even in this life. No, my good people, this, like any other vocation in life, the religious vocation takes full commitment. You cannot enter half-heartedly, even in the vocation of marriage. You cannot enter half-heartedly, or you will fail. When you enter whichever vocation, whatever vocation, you must give it your full commitment. That doesn't mean it will be easy. Of course it won't, in one way of speaking. It will be even more difficult, because the devil knows the value of religious houses. The reason for the state of the world today is because of the lack of religious houses. When the monks and the nuns left their cloisters and went out on the streets, that was the beginning of the end. The only thing that will save us, outside of God stepping in, of course, but then the only thing that will make God step in, apparently, is for men and women, young and not so young, to accept the commitment of giving themselves wholly to God and undergoing the severe changing of the inner self. Of course, even if you remain in the world, you still have that obligation. But in religion, it is more concerted, more concentrated. And there are, in a manner of speaking, much less distractions. In that regard, it is easier, in quotation marks. But above that, my good people, it is the most sublime life that can be lived on earth, whether in a convent or a monastery, if you put your whole heart into it. It's the closest to God you can get in this life. As has been pointed out more and more times in the Gospels and the Epistles, all through Scripture, even in the Old Testament, there were those who set themselves aside and dedicated themselves solely to God. Those are the ones, my good people, that bring down the blessings and the graces upon the rest of the world. But we are a dying breed. We are dying out, my good people. I beg of you, don't let that happen. If you yourselves have already chosen or been called to another vocation, you can still offer your prayers and your sacrifices, that God will scatter his blessings and plant his seed in the barren fields to grow a new crop of religious. that will show him that we still love him. My good people, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.